You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hello and welcome to The Rest Is Football with me, Gary Lineker, Micah Richards, but no Alan Shearer this week. Unfortunately, couldn't make it, but we've got someone way better than Alan Shearer.
Come on, drum roll, come on!
Drum roll, we've got a special guest, very special guest, the captain of Liverpool and Netherlands, a certain Virgil van Dijk. Good afternoon, Virgil.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for doing what is, I believe, your first ever appearance on a podcast.
It is. Times have changed. No, yeah. Thanks for having me.
First, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing today.
Yeah, obviously, I've been playing in the park here. And thanks to McDonald's, they were offering for at least 500,000 of kids fun football around the country. And I've been part of the campaign now for a while. It's my third session. I really enjoy being out there playing with the kids, seeing their smiles, you know, it just gives you so much back and it's been great.
And how does it work?
So obviously they're offering the free football sessions, yeah, fun football sessions around the country. And it's just great because obviously times have been changing. You know, when I was younger, when you guys were younger, playing outside was a bit normal. It was always the thing. And times have been changing a little bit. And thanks to McDonald's have definitely been boosting a lot of kids and to go outside. And
including your own, I hear.
Including my own, yeah. Definitely. I've took them to a session before and they really enjoyed it. To see them smiling, obviously, as a parent is the most beautiful thing there is. But they learn so much from it as well. And obviously, as you guys know, it gives so much back as well. You learn every aspect in life that you would need, especially when you're older.
Yeah, your youngster's got a bit of talent, Virgil.
Well,
come on, tell us!
Well, no, listen, my eldest turning 10 in the summer, next summer, and she's quite active, different sports actually, so not only one sport. So that's quite nice to see and see what it leads to. But I definitely encourage all the kids to move and to play and to dance. And well, in the end of the day, it's all their decision and see where it leads to.
Yeah, talking about youngsters, tell us how football came to be for you. When did you start realizing that you had talent and ability to make it to the top?
Well, I think as any youngster, I started around 6, 7 in our local football team. I got picked up quite early by Willem II, a mid-table team back then in the Eredivisie in Holland. And I played there 10 years in the academy. But I was never a standout.
Really?
Never.
What position was you playing now?
Well, I was always like, when you're younger, you play as a defender, basically.
No, normally you start up the top and then as your lack of ability becomes apparent, but you move backwards.
Yeah, it is like that normally. But for me personally, I always, you know, on the streets, for example, I was always a bit of an attacker. I was always a bit the player that wanted to score the goals. But playing in the academy, I was always in defense. So whether it was center half, a little bit of right back, but mixing it a little bit. And that kept going definitely until I was 15, 16. That was a time that I struggled quite a bit. Didn't have my growth spurt yet.
You certainly had one.
Well, I certainly had one after that. And after I had my growth spurt, after I got over a little bit of knee problems back then, things started to develop and went quite well. I became the captain of the last team before he turned senior. And I made the step up north to FC Groningen, and things only went good that way.
Yeah, started to make progress. You had an illness though, didn't you? Put you back
appendix.
Yeah, and you had complications after it.
Yeah.
How worrying was that?
It was worrying. Obviously, you know, that time was difficult, but you know, I got over it, and things happened for a reason. And I think that definitely should have happened to me, unfortunately, but it should have. And it got me a lot of knowledge in how to deal, for example, with nutrition, what's obviously a very important part of life in general. So, yeah, it was not an easy time, but it definitely shaped me again in who I am today.
How did the move to Celtic come about?
Yeah, so obviously I was in FC Groningen and I had an amazing time there. You know, it was time for me to make that next step. And I think maybe you can relate, maybe in England, if you play for a mid-table team and things go very well, you love to hope to make the next step to a big team in the Premier League.
Yeah. Was it difficult leaving Netherlands?
Well, I went away, obviously, with my wife at the moment. And obviously, things are different. Things are, you know, you're away from your family. You are on your own. It's a different culture, language. Obviously, it's not, you know, not crazy difference, because Holland and Scotland is not like it's 5 hours, 6 hours away from where you lived before. But it's definitely a big change to your life. And we got our first kid in Glasgow. We really enjoyed it over there. And it definitely also prepared me for what came next.
Talk us through the Old Firm, the derby. How special was that?
I played it once, actually, only.
Only once?
Yeah, only once, because they were in the...
It's about 4 years.
Yeah, but they were in the Championship back then. They weren't in the top flight. And we played the semi-final at Hampden. And I would say the whole preparation for the game and the meetings with the police, for example, before the game in order to get you ready was more intense than the actual game. But it's a special game. You know, the city is divided, obviously, with the two clubs. And it's amazing that at least played once the game. So, yeah, it's an intense battle. But at the time when I was there, it was more intense outside of the game than
I was going to ask you, what was it like living in Glasgow?
It was amazing.
That rivalry.
Yeah, but it was amazing. We really enjoyed it over there. And we met some amazing people that we're still in touch with. You know, the city in general was very bubbly. It's, you know, amazing. So we just enjoyed it. And of course, you come across, you know, some fans of the other team. But the same goes here. In Liverpool, we have exactly the same in this regard. And by the end of the day, it's still sort of respectful in a way, and obviously the fans from the other team that you come across, you know, they are very fanatic about their team, but it's still in a respectful way that they approach you.
When he was at Celtic, did you feel he was going to get to these levels now where, you know, we're talking about he's the best centre back, not only in this generation, but going back generations as well? Because I remember watching Celtic thinking he's got everything, but did you feel that yourself?
Well, I think and obviously, I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the back, but I think a way to go to success is don't look too far ahead, you know, and get yourself, obviously, you have dreams, but don't make yourself a lot more short-term, you know, aims. And that was the case as well. Obviously, when I was at Groningen, I would love to go to an Ajax or Feyenoord or PSV, or, you know, because they are the traditional top three in the league, and it didn't happen. But Celtic was there, and to be able to go to Celtic to play for such a big club, because people don't really realize how massive Celtic is, but to play Europe, Champions League first season, Europa League second season, you know, was for me perfect for my development. And then I felt obviously ready for the next step, and the next step was for me, in that case, Southampton. And that was for me already a massive step to go to the Premier League, where I definitely dreamed of.
What were the differences between moving from Scotland and playing in the Premier League in terms of the two leagues?
Well, for me, the biggest difference was going from Holland to Scotland, because I come to a team that had 75% possession of the ball, playing against a team that sit in a lot of directness, you know, a lot of challenges that I wasn't used to in Holland that much. You know, it wasn't, most of them were even games, a lot of ball possession games. So it was a big development in the way I've played, and but something I needed, you know, something that made, prepared me for then coming into the Premier League, was a lot more physical, a lot more faster in the pace of play. And but I remember the first season with Southampton, we had a record-breaking season. We came sixth in the league. We had European football the season after. And yeah, I was prepared for what was coming. And I kept developing. I kept learning from situations that happens in the game, good things, bad things, and how to deal with, you know, playing midweek, how to deal with, obviously, the media side of football nowadays. So you learn so much each and every game and every day that, you know, it makes you preparing then for what's coming next if you keep developing.
Has the success that you've had in your career surprised me? I'd say that because of the way you talked about the early days and you weren't quite sure. Have you surprised yourself?
We don't really have the time to sit down and reflect that much because, you know, we're still on the train. You know, it just like...
You'll have years of doing that after, trust me.
Hopefully, let's say nothing is guaranteed, but let's, you know. Yeah. But yeah, definitely, you know, where I am today, being the captain of Liverpool Football Club, being the captain of Holland, but definitely personally as well, is something I never thought when I was, especially 15, 16, before the growth spurt, for example. That's the sweeter, you know, it just makes it me appreciate a lot more than, you know, more than ever. My journey and everyone else's journey is always different than, you know, what you normally see out there. You know, obviously we've seen Messi, Ronaldo, you know, those guys, they have been unbelievable, one of the best of all times, and making their debuts when they were 17, 16, 17, 18 and stayed at the top until now. Everyone's journey is different, and that's why you should embrace your own journey and yeah, enjoy it.
I just heard you call your country Holland.
That's what I do, because of you guys.
That's why I asked, because it's kind of drifted away now. We don't say Holland quite so much here, but we always did. And when we ever did like international tournaments, we would get a little bit of stick and say, it's not Holland, it's Netherlands. Yeah. But I just heard you say it and I thought, maybe I've not got it wrong all the time, but you just did it for us.
Yeah.
So we do know what Netherlands is.
Yes.
We do know that.
Correct.
Much.
Netherlands.
How did the move to Anfield come about?
Yeah, well, listen, I think obviously things at Southampton were going great. Unfortunately, I had a tough foot injury in the beginning of 2017 against Leicester at home. Very complicated foot injury, and that ruled me out for the remaining of the season. But there was a lot of interest from different clubs, including Liverpool. And
did you have a choice?
I did have a choice at the time. And, you know, we really... obviously thought about so many stuff and so many things, and we felt like Liverpool was the best option for us going forward in every aspect. Obviously, the manager made it clear that I was gonna be a very important piece to the puzzle, and I really felt that I was gonna do that as well. So eventually we made the decision to come in.
How important was the manager in persuading you?
Well, I'm a guy that really wants to, before I make a decision, to double check it and make sure that we make the right decision. But it's a combination of feeling, conversation that you have with players. You had Gini Wijnaldum here, was obviously my teammate in the national team, was I spoke to a lot already. And obviously Jordan Henderson, me and him shared the same agent. So we know each other already beforehand. So, you know, these things help. And also your own experience. I've played there obviously twice before I joined the club. One time we drew, I think, and the second time we lost 3-0. But the whole, you know, the city, the reception that the players will get, the unwavering support that the fans will give to you and your team is something that I really enjoy. And also looking ahead, thinking what the future could look like was something that I was really interested in.
Can I just ask you about the price tag and the pressure that comes with it? 75 million, correct? And you come from a big move, obviously believing your ability, but did you feel that pressure with the price tag, or is that something you just took in your stride?
Well, I think it's all about showing your qualities first and foremost. And for me personally, I knew that when you show your qualities, when you just being yourself and express yourself in what you can do, no one will speak about any price tag. And was one of the first conversations I had with the manager as well, is that, you know, I didn't decide the price tag. I could, you know, I had no influence on that. You know, the clubs, you know, agreed to that. And for me, it's just to play the best football I can and be important for the football club. And obviously it started quite well with my debut against Everton, and I settled quickly off the pitch as well with the boys.
Do you think you were helped by the fact that it was a January move? Because I know it's quite unusual. Most big transfers happen in the summer. But the fact that you moved and then you're straight into playing rather than have that month or two build up.
I don't know. I think it's not very common that you get the ball rolling that quickly in January move, but it definitely helped me. You know, after playing my first game, we had a trip away with the whole team, and that bonding helped massively because you get to know each other on a normal level, not only on a football level, but you know, as well as a player, you eventually get judged on what you show on the pitch. And obviously, after I came back from that trip, I couldn't play the Man City game. That was a wild game, if I remember, the 4-3, if I'm correct. We won at home, but after that, I played other games and things have been going well. You know, the performances have been going well, and I got to learn how we like to defend, how we like to play, and I really enjoyed that as well. And it only sort of in that 6 months or 5 months, what it was, I learned so much. Obviously, we lost Champions League final, for example. We, you know, that was a tough one, but it sort of gave me that extra boost in order to be there the year after and win it. And it was not easy, but I definitely feel like it benefited myself.
In that 4-3 game, Marky, you must have been defending, were you? You in that team?
Probably on the bench.
No, you weren't.
So you talked about that first game against Everton. That obviously that Liverpool derby is quite, it's quite special, isn't it? Yeah. Although it seems to be very one-sided over the period of time you've been here.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a game on its own. And obviously we can say the same about when we play Manchester United, and now obviously with City, the same. You know, these games are...
Which one matters most?
Of
Everton,
all of them?
Manchester United, City?
Well, you know, the Merseyside derby is always special. And it's always tough. It's intense. It's a game on its own. And obviously they have been doing, you know, much better than... You know, the beginning years when I joined the club, it's always difficult, and especially when we play away, you know, it's tough. And as a player, you wanna be part of these games. You know, it's just an extra boost, that extra. You know, it's just give you that extra, and it means a little bit more if you win for both sides. So yeah, it's great. But the other games as well, you know, it just because everyone will watch those games as well, and everyone wants you to slip up, and the other team as well, and it's a bit of like, let's go then, let's go for it.
Tell us what it was like winning that Champions League.
Oh, yeah, it was special. It was, you know, what dreams are made of. You know, you watch the Champions League when you're young, seeing so many legendary players lifting that trophy. Obviously, for me personally, seeing so many Dutchmen lifting that trophy, and, you know, the whole build-up towards it. Obviously, the first one that we lost was an experience on its own, because the week towards it, you know, the media attention you get, you know, everything. It's a whole show and a whole experience. But actually, when that final whistle went, you know, it was emotional because obviously of the hard work that obviously I've been going through, but my wife and kids obviously as well, it's, you know, the sacrifice they made, you know, and knowing that they're in the stands watching, and it was special. It was special. I will never forget it.
Do you think it made it more special, the fact that you'd lost against Real Madrid the year before?
Yeah, but I think in general, to actually hold that trophy, you know, it's very heavy. Yeah. But
I wouldn't know.
But but no, this it's a special one, and also to celebrate it with all our fans and then have that parade the day after was incredible.
Does it compare with winning the league, which mattered most? Because it had been a hell of a long time that Liverpool had gone without.
It was obviously 30 years for the actual Premier League. Obviously we've won many many trophies before that, but 30 years, yeah, so it was a strange one. Obviously we've won the league almost already in April, if I'm correct. Obviously COVID hit that time. It was a crazy time. But
what was it like playing games without people there?
Yeah, it was not great.
No.
When we won the league, we had obviously to play, if I'm correct, 6 more games. Mm. The only good thing was that we had a guard of honor of the teams we've played. So I think we played Man City, if I'm correct. Aston Villa, if I'm correct.
You were playing me.
No, but that was the only thing maybe. But, you know, we wanted to celebrate it with the fans so much. And I think even that night we won it, you know, we were all together, yeah, of course. But it wasn't feeling the same. Yeah. To actually hold the trophy was special, and let's see if we can feel that or do the same, but with fans in the near future.
What was that emotion like though? Because when I won a league, I went on a bender for a week. I'm not gonna like It was just incredible. It was like a surreal feeling, wasn't it? Where you like you're really high, but also you're quite emotional at the same time.
So you went on a bender and you were really high. Okay. It's all right, it's legal.
Maybe it was something else.
It's legal in Holland and Netherlands.
Not for players though. No, I think that feeling you got, I definitely experienced after the Champions League final. But I don't know about you, but nowadays with international football, it's almost like a week and a half after the last game of the season. And it will still be the same this year. But for example, going back to the Champions League final where we won, we had the parade. We obviously had a big party after the game and then go straight on the parade. And then it's like, you're really tired. But it's like, you're going in both directions because you're so full of adrenaline that... You know, you just go with the flow and then the next day you just completely shattered. But yeah, and after the Premier League, obviously we had a big party, but still, you know, you wanted to get the fans there. You wanted to be out there with the fans. But that feeling to actually hold that trophy, you know, that feeling will definitely remain the same. And like you said, I was emotional.
Does the fact that you couldn't celebrate it properly with the fans make you perhaps more determined to try and win it again this year, possibly? You're right in contention.
That's what we try. Yeah. What we come against two amazing teams as well, you know. And everyone knows that one or two slip ups could be means the end of it. And what we can control is our own performances, and that's always been the mindset. To be fair, over the last years, and even in during the other title races with City, that obviously we came short twice, unfortunately. But to focus on each game at a time. And that's what we're going to do now as well. We hopefully get everyone fit, stay fit as well, and try to win each and every game ahead of us. But we know it's going to be tough.
Okay, we've reached halftime. Let's take a little break.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to a special edition of The Rest Is Football with me, Gary Lineker, Micah Richards, no Alan Shearer, but we've got Virgil van Dijk. Now, somebody told me a little earlier that you were a little bit of, which I hate to bring this up, to be perfectly honest, and I would have hated it even more if he was here, but you might have been a bit of an Alan Shearer fan as a boy.
Wow.
Is that true?
I wouldn't say a fan, but...
Oh, that's good. Yes!
I wouldn't say a fan, but listen, Alan Shearer obviously is well known. And when I was 16, 17, me and my team, academy team back then, Willem II, we had a trip on the ferry to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And we watched a Premier League game, I don't know, against who Newcastle was playing back then. But I remember sitting next to the away fans in that sector and watching, obviously, Alan Shearer at the time. And yeah, the Premier League was then... something I really wanted to be part of in the future, and obviously still not knowing if I'll be good enough or if I'll be actually making it. But you know, the whole...
I think you've got a chance.
Yeah, I got a chance,
having watched you a little
but
bit.
But no, listen, it's just the football, the intensity, even the Premier League noises back then and the font of the shirts back then, you know, it's just all complete package that really, you know, made me want to come here.
Mm. Let's talk about a few of the personalities during your career. Managers, coaches, how do they differ?
Well, every coach has their own way of managing on the pitch, off the pitch. But I've worked with many great coaches and I'm still in touch, for example, with the coach that got me in the, when I went to Groningen, for example, first I started in under 23s and that coach is actually now the head coach of FC Groningen in the first team without in a different route, but he came back in the first team and they're in the championship at the moment in Holland, but he's on the way to get them back up. But I'm still in touch with him now and then. And Koeman obviously has been a big figure in my career and still is.
How helpful was he? It's interesting you talk about Ronald Koeman because obviously played in a similar position to you.
Yeah.
He could sometimes play in midfield as well. But I mean, he was unbelievable footballer with the feet. Did he have a big influence on you?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way he could trigger me in training, but also in the games to get the best out of myself. I remember definitely in my first season at Southampton, sometimes in training, I could be a little bit more laid back, maybe in even a simple passing exercise. And he would just standing behind me and just saying, and the rest maybe would misplace a pass as well, but he would just be on me like, are you joking? Make sure, you know, and being hard on me. And that helped me. And, you know, that comes from the small things that he was able to trigger me and making me a better player. And off the pitch as well, you know, I've known him obviously now for many years and we have a great relationship together. And that same feeling I got a little bit with Jurgen Klopp as well. He's always what you see on TV or what you see on the pitch or off the pitch. You know, that's who he is. You know, he's very emotional. He's very direct. But the relationship I got with him is very, very strong too. And I really enjoy working still with these two managers. And obviously, I know that the end of the season will be the end of Jurgen Klopp's era here. But everything he's done so far for and the club and for me has been amazing.
What is it about him that makes him so special?
His charisma, you know, but also the way he coaches, the way he gives confidence to the team, the way he applies his energy towards the team and also to the fans and to the club. But also, you know, it's a special thing, I think, what I've seen to be a manager of Liverpool Football Club. You know, you need more than just being a good coach. You need to understand the city, the culture, the history of the club and live and breathe, being on top of, you know, the Liverpool Football Club. And that's something I really learned over the years that it's really important to have. And it's not an easy attribute to have. And you have, obviously, there's only so much that could do that at a club like Liverpool.
From what I understand, that really started with Bill Shankly evoking and that participation with the fans. And he really gets that, doesn't he? So he was the right man in the right city.
100%. Obviously, he comes from a club before Liverpool, obviously with Dortmund, that maybe has a bit similar, that, you know, it's one big family. The fan base is very close to the team. And obviously at Liverpool, this is a much higher skill all over the world. And he really realized it as well. And he embraces that too. And yeah, he's been the perfect manager. You know,
is he a hard taskmaster?
Yeah, but I think that's part of being at the highest level. I think it should always be that case.
Did it surprise you when he said he was finishing at the end of the season?
Well, yeah, I can't deny it. The announcement and everything, you know, go about it surprised everyone. I could say everyone in world football. And but listen, you know, he has his reasons for it, and we all have to respect that. And in the end of the day, life in general, personal life, is bigger than football. You know, health, your family, your kids, your grandkids. In this case, you know, is a very, very important part of life, maybe more important than ever. And he needs that time away. And we all have to respect that. And he has been amazing for the football club. But I also feel like the club will do everything in their power to find the right replacement for him. And
which won't be easy, obviously. Tell us about some of the great players that you've played with. Who are the best? Who's the best player you've played with?
I don't want to...
Come on, Virg.
I don't want to, you know, put other players down, but...
I'm not asking you to do that.
Let me speak about players that, for example, left. And
yeah.
I think Bobby Firmino has been a big figure in the success that we had over the last years. He kept especially those two next to him who are outstanding and maybe one of the best wingers in Premier League history. Keep them together. the triangle they were, the way they work together. And obviously for me personally, the defensive work they did in order to make it easier for us in the back, it's been crazy. It's been outstanding. And, you know, he's been so good and also difficult to defend in training. And but also that makes us, you know, learn how to deal with, you know, dropping nines or wingers that makes them runs in behind and things like that. So I would give a lot of credit to him. But at the moment, I'm playing with amazing players, Mohamed Salah, you know, Alisson Becker. I won't forget Joao Matip. Obviously, he's injured now, but he's been incredible for the football club, coming in as a free agent. You know, this era that we have been under Jurgen Klopp has been an amazing era, in my opinion. And each one of the players that have been part of it should definitely take full credit for that.
How has it been playing the high line? You mentioned in Firmino in training and all stuff, but when we're analysing the game and we're looking at them, like halfway line all the time, like how has that affected your game? Do you like that? Is that something that you enjoy?
Yeah, I definitely like
it. He's quick enough.
No, the thing is, I think you can only play high line if there's pressure on the ball.
Yes,
and of course.
Yeah.
I would love to win the ball up high. You know, I don't want the ball to come in our direction. But if you see like, and if you look at the body language of players on the ball from the opponent and you see they're going to play it long, you can already read the situation. And I try to read situations before it even happens. And obviously then it looks maybe a little bit simple, but that's the hardest part, I think, of defending in a high line. And if you switch off a small second or a small, you can be caught out. And that's also what happened maybe at certain times, but you have to then learn from it. But it all starts with the defending what the front three or the front four or front two are doing. And if that doesn't work out, then you have to sit back a little bit more.
Can I just ask you as well, you always play left side centre half, which obviously for your body position, for me, I couldn't play left side centre half. Why do you prefer that side of playing centre back?
Well, I've changed this only since I went to Celtic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that, I played always right side.
What's the difference?
I think the body position is definitely, and so if I'm sometimes in a game to the right, you have to definitely change your body position. And also passing is a bit different, but I'm so used to it now. You know, I'm just like, it's all programmed in the mind, in the body, and also covering right, left, stepping in. When I have the ball, the switches to left and right can still be done. And I really enjoy playing on the left-hand side. But it definitely sometimes is the case that teams will recognize that in pressing you and your sort of weaker foot. So that's definitely something I'm still working on each and every day.
I always think the best defenders are the ones that obviously read the game like you do, but also you very rarely see you on your backside. The importance of staying on your feet. The defenders that go to ground are the ones that I always used to enjoy playing against. And how important is that, do you think?
Well, yeah, in my opinion, it's definitely important to stay as long as possible on your feet and obviously try to read the situation before it actually happened, like I said already. But if you eventually have to go on the ground, you have to make the right decision. And obviously it's a bit of a last resort decision because you're risking a free kick, a yellow card, a penalty kick or whatever. And I think if you can sort it with your mind in order to position yourself well and putting your body at the right time in the right space, then why not? You know, and a lot of it is, in my opinion, also thinking ahead of what's going to happen.
Yeah, reading the game. Yeah,
reading the game and looking at, obviously knowing where your striker is, but also looking at the guy on the ball, that body position, putting yourself in his mind while also scanning what your opponent is. It sounds maybe a little difficult, but it is like that. And like I said, when on the highest level, it's more difficult than when you play against lesser good team, but it is still a good trait.
Who's the most difficult opponent you've come across? Or name a few.
Well, Lionel Messi is definitely a very difficult opponent. I would say Erling Haaland is a very difficult opponent. Very strong, modern day striker. You know,
very different player, obviously, to Messi.
Yeah, they're but different. It's just the that directness. You know, if you give them an inch, they will punish you. And the same I had with Aguero. Obviously, he didn't score many goals against us, if I'm actually honest. But since I've played against him when I was at Southampton, it was always a handful, you know, and he could finish left and right. Obviously, you know it better than I do, but you always had to be at your best. And even one goal I remember that he scored against us, 18-19, he came in front of Dejan Lovren, if I remember, from across, and he just finished it so quickly. So yeah, he's definitely up there. I would say, I mentioned it also in another interview, Olivier Giroud, link-up player together at the time with Hazard. It was always Hazard giving them the flick and he would hold the ball. And we also scored good goals against me. And I always felt like, he's not going to score, and he managed to score.
It's like as a centre half. I know we are strikers, you know, we're totally focused on scoring goals, but your focus is different. Your focus is obviously trying to stop goals.
Yeah.
Does it mean a bit more when you're playing against the very best? Someone like Haaland, for example, you think, right, okay, it's a battle. It's a challenge.
I think it's you know, we all human beings, and when there's always a bit like a battle created, you always want to be on top of it. But I'm not going into a game being in a 1v1 battle, because for me, the most important thing is that we don't concede goals. And I'm one of, if not the leader of the back line, and I want to prevent goals. In order to do that, is making sure the rest of your team is organized and being the best they can as well. And it's not that, oh yeah, but the other two scored and Haaland didn't score, for as an example, that I did my job. No. I want to make sure that we don't concede, we win the game. And I know I have a big part in that, in organizing the rest of the team. And so, yeah, it's only a win-win situation if you don't concede. And the battle that people are creating is going your way, but it's not my priority, not at all.
You always seem incredibly calm. Is that how you are inside as well as outside?
Yeah, I think, obviously, I'm very aggressive. I'm very vocal. I'm very, I need to be communicated. I need to be sort of on it in that regard, in order to get the best out of myself. But to read situations, you have to be calm in mind. You have to be clear thinking in order to get the best decision making. And I find myself making that right balance, already for many years. And obviously outside of the pitch, you know, so there are many things to make you calm as well and make you make the right decisions.
And what about when you're injured? Obviously had a long time out.
Yep.
With the knee,
yeah,
I believe. And then he came back for a certain period.
Mm-hmm.
Media was saying he's not going to get back to his best. Mm-hmm. We've seen the best of Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've been the media always championing, talking how good you are. And I feel you are back to your best.
I do, I'll be honest.
How was that period, though, when people started to doubt you? Was you still the same cool, calm and collected when he was coming back from the injury as well?
Well, I came back obviously in pre-season 2022, if I'm correct. Obviously, fully motivated. I'm back in the team training. That was all I've worked so hard for. And that season, I think we were up for the quadruple. Mm. We missed obviously the last game where Aston Villa gave a 2-0 lead away at City. the Premier League. And obviously we lost the final against Real Madrid in Paris. But that year I played, I think, the only player in Europe, all the games, like almost all the games, most games of the year. And that year went actually quite good. And we had a short summer break, not really had time to reflect on what actually was a good year after a knee injury, complex knee injury. And then obviously the season last year was a very inconsistent season. And when you're inconsistent, what didn't happen so far, especially in my time in Liverpool, you try to find for solutions and try to maybe even more in order to get things right again. And that's most of the time not the right way in order to get back to where you want to be. And I had very good games and I had very not good games. It wasn't that bad as what people making out. It was obviously not the level that everyone was used to see of me. So obviously the criticism back then, that was sometimes obviously tough to hear, because I'm not a guy that go out and read all the comments and what people actually had to say. But in some ways it sort of reach you anyway, because your family members, your friends, people come to you saying, how are you? Are you fine? You know, you have to try and stay calm about it. And the only way to turn it around is eventually with performances. And I would say last year around, you know, February, March, after I came back from a 6-week hamstring injury that I also didn't really have in my career, was also typical at the time, but things started to roll again and started to feel better and confident in myself and in the way I should play. And obviously the summer break, last summer break helped massively. I totally switched off. Time with my family. Obviously my wife is a big help in that as well, in keeping me calm. And pre-season I felt like, not I have to make things right for the public, but for myself, I want to make sure that I'm playing consistently again and be the important person and player I am for the club for so many years. And the captaincy obviously helped, I can't deny that, but to make things right for myself was definitely a big thing.
Yeah. Last couple of questions, if I may. Looking ahead to the summer, massive tournament coming up, obviously the European Championship, and Netherlands will be, you know, one of the fancied teams as always. I played in the one tournament they did actually win, 1988.
Yeah.
That would be a dream come true, wouldn't it, to lift that?
100%. Funny enough, the manager told us that there was only 8 teams back then.
Correct.
Yeah, it was a bit easier, isn't it?
That's right. We still didn't qualify.
Didn't qualify.
Well, we qualified for the tournament, but we didn't get through the group stage. We lost all three, but including a Marco van Basten hat-trick against us. But
listen, for me personally, you know, to lead out the boys there representing my country, obviously in Germany, will be a big honour, a special moment.
Mm. And it was, of course, in Germany where they won it. So exactly. A bit of history there for you.
No pressure. No, but obviously, like the last tournament I've played in Qatar, you know, there was not many Dutch fans out there. I fully expect, obviously, being it in Germany, next door, 3-hour, 4-hour drive, there will be a lot of orange shirts there hoping to support us. As a team, we'll love to make everyone in our country proud and getting as far as we can. And let's see.
Very last question. Premier League or the European Championship?
Both of them. Europa League.
And the Europa League.
That's the aim. But those are dreams. And if it happens, it happens. But we're gonna fight for each one of those targets and trophies, and let's see where it brings us.
Virgil, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. We're massive fans, as I'm sure
Keep that up.
We'll do our very best. But thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Absolute delight.
Pleasure.
That's it from The Rest Is Football this week. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
I'm Anthony Scaramucci, former White House Director of Communications and Wall Street financier.
And I'm Katty Kay, U.S. Special Correspondent for BBC Studios. I've been covering American politics for almost 3 decades.
Welcome to The Rest Is Politics U.S., brought to you by Goalhanger.
Go on, tell us, were those donations you made, like Obama in 2008, was that idealism? Were you hoping to get something out of these campaigns that would serve your own business interests, for example?
So I think this will either make this podcast incredibly successful, Katty, or people will be horrified and they'll shut it off right now because I'm going to be very real with you. The Obama donation, I had gone to law school with President Obama. We were not classmates. I was a few years ahead of him. It was 2007. He was then Senator Obama. I had a check in my breast pocket. I went over to the senator. I said, Senator, I said, you and I didn't really know each other in law school, but I'm about to hand you a big check. Can I lie to my friends and tell them that you and I knew each other in law school? Well, Obama looks at me, had the best smile in American politics since Jack Kennedy.
Forever.
Yeah. He lights up. He looks at me and says, I'll tell you what, if you double the amount of the check, we'll take it back to Hawaii. Okay. And I looked at him. I said, you're done. I had another check in my pocket. I ripped it up. I doubled the amount of the check. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been to more White House Christmas parties during the Obama administration than the Trump administration.
In this pivotal year for the United States, democracy, and world affairs, Britain's biggest podcast, The Rest Is Politics, is launching stateside.
Uncovering secrets from inside the Biden and Trump inner circles and how they shape the world's most important economy, but also the global economy too.
New episodes are released every Friday morning.
Just search The Rest Is Politics US wherever you get your podcasts.